here in the sanctuary, as he'll give us probably some more nuts and bolts of their ministry in Italy. But because he's been with us so many times, we'd wanted him to come bring the morning message. And so, Brother James, if you will come, let me pray with you, and then I will turn the time over. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the reminders we have that the gospel message is not just bound for our local area, and that you have brought many into our midst, and today you've brought James. Father, I pray that you would lay your hand upon my brother, that he would speak your truth in love. We thank you for the gifting you've given him, and that as he uses his talents and abilities for you, you will multiply them. May you anoint him today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Do you hear me? Yes. It's a pleasure, privilege, and honor to be here. And to be able to share what I have in my heart. And just heard my wife an hour ago, more or less, and she greets everyone. She was dying to be here with me. And it's sad to travel alone without wife and kids. And but she says, make sure you greet everyone in the church, all the brothers and sisters. And so I'm glad I made it here to the States. It's kind of it's hard to get over, especially when you come from Italy. With this COVID thing, things there are very serious. Most of the regions are red, which means that you cannot move, even if you're Italian, within the regions, if not for some specific reason like health and other things. So, praise God, I made it here, and I went to Milwaukee with this pastor, Mexican pastor. He'd like to come here sometime with me and meet you guys. And because I speak a lot about you over there. And he lent me his car. He's such a nice man. And it was so funny, the brother, when I came in, he was like, well, you can tell you came with a double-colored car because they had to change the doors. And anyways, it was funny because when I arrive in Milwaukee, in Chicago, he comes and gets me, and then I tell him my different plans. And he says, well, you might be able to get to South Dakota, but I don't know if you can get to Florida. And I was like, why? It was like, because there's this doesn't go, that doesn't go. And so he was showing me around the car. And I was like, so, but I'm used to that because I grew up with cars that, by you know, we went by faith all the time, broken down cars. And just recently, praise God, I really thank a brother in this midst, provided a car for our family. And so back at home, we have a car that can travel, a good car that can travel. But I trust in the Lord, and I'm sure that if he made this to happen, I'm sure I'm going to get to where I have to get. And I really want to ask you prayers on this journey, because I'll be traveling a lot, even with this car. And after my stay here in South Dakota, I'm going to Nashville, where most likely I will be seeing Michael W. Smith. I'll be at his house. So for those who know Michael W. Smith, you know, the Lord can create, opens the open doors, you know, because wherever I go, I even represent the Mission Quest is the Answer. So it's a kind of a hard time for the Mission Quest is the Answer. We're going through many trials, many projects, and many things are needed. So as we move, I believe the Lord, you know, he opens doors, and things can be done if we walk in his ways. After Nashville, Tennessee, I'll be traveling to Florida, so that's a long ways down. And yes, and there will be in a TV program, Light of the Word Ministries, with the director. I translated a book for the wife, so he wanted me over. And again, there is a good opportunity, not for me, more for the mission. I would like to talk about the needs. So if you can pray for all these different things, and I will be going, Lord willing, to South Carolina to my wife's uncle, and he is pretty wealthy. Like Pastor Jim was saying on their family, he really counts on his money, and he lives in Hilton Head, so he's pretty well off. And he says, James, please come, And I'm going there only if I can be, you know, if I can bring the word of God to him and be an encouragement, because he's getting older, and Horst, my father-in-law, is getting older, and Horst told me, James, go, you know. And so I'll try to fit that in. It's a lot of traveling with a car that the pastor himself said, I don't know. So please keep me in prayer, and we'll see what the Lord does, and I'll get back to you for sure with the emails next month to give you heads up on what has happened in this time. So today's message is in Isaiah chapter 6 from the first verse. If you want to read it. And it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that you would touch us through your Holy Spirit in this day. Amen. So, I read the scripture because it's been a while now that as I've been traveling in Italy or on the phone with people, they've asked me a question many times. It's the big question nowadays. And they ask me, why are people walking away from their faith? Why are so many people walking away from their faith in these days? And so, in these past years, I've been hearing of many, even missionaries that served the Lord for 30, 40 years. And they came from the homosexual background. They got saved, they served the Lord for many years. And after so many years, Satan attacks the families, attacks whoever he can get a hold of. And it's sad to say that these people that were leaders left their wife and went back to their old life. And so you could see many people getting offended and arguing one against another, talking about people in the church. And so it's sad to see why is so much sin entering the house of the Lord? Why are people giving up to Satan? There could be many answers to this question, but I believe there's one above all. And so the Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, something incredible happened to Isaiah. So we know the story of King Uzziah, right? His father was King Amaziah, and he had ruled for 29 years, and he did what was right in the eyes of God for 29 years. After 29 years, he turned his back from the Lord, and they led a conspiracy against him, and they killed him. So the people of Judah, they took King Uzziah, that he was only 16 years old. How many of you here are 16? 17, 15? No one? So about your age. So he was very small, a young boy. They took him, sat him on the throne, and they made him king. And the Bible says that in that period of time, it was the kingdom of Judah. The prophet was Zechariah. And the Bible says that King Uzziah did wonderful, marvelous things in the 40 years that he reigned. He reigned for 52 years, but 40 years he did what was right in the eyes of God. So Zechariah was the prophet that was mentoring him in that time. And at that time, he was careful to do one thing. He instructed him in the fear of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And we read about Uzziah, the things that were pretty impressive. So he took over as king. He went against the Philistines, and he won the battle. He went against the Maronites, the Arabs, and he defeated them. The Ammonites were paying tribute to King Uzziah to the point that his fame spread so far as to the border of Egypt. He was becoming powerful. He was becoming someone. But he was doing the things the right way. He was doing the right things in the eyes of God. And he was mentored by Zechariah, and he was very careful that he would fear the Lord. So, not only that, he used to go to war, he built towers, wells, in the city, in the desert, because he had a lot of livestock. He liked the ground, so he had people, he had farmers grow things on, you know, the soil and the vineyards and all that stuff. He had a lot of things going on. And he also had a very strong military. The family leaders, the very valid, courageous warriors, were 2,600 people, and under them, other strong and valid warriors counted 307,500. 307,500 valid warriors under those 2,600. And so he provided all these warriors with shields, with slingshots, with spears, with swords, with everything that you can imagine, fed them well, had everything going good, and he became strong, and his fame spread. The Bible says that he was greatly helped, not only from God, that made him have success because he feared the Lord, but even others were helping him. He was greatly helped to the point that he became powerful. But then see, he achieved these great things in 40 years of his ministry, I believe because he feared the Lord. It was at a certain point of his life because he became proud, because he became powerful. He thought that he could do everything that he wanted. So, see, back in those days, kings could have done pretty much everything. They had many privileges, many responsibilities, but they could have done pretty much everything. One of the little things they couldn't have done is taking the place of the high priest and priests. So one morning, he wakes up full of pride, goes in the temple, as we know the story, and in his mind, he's thinking, I'm going to go burn incense at the altar of incense. So as he's going inside the temple, the high priest Azariah, with other 80 courageous priests, they run after him, go in the temple and say, hey, what are you doing? And he was like, could you imagine a king so powerful that all of a sudden sees the high priest and the priest? He was like, what are you telling me? What am I doing? He had a censer in his hand. He was almost about to hit him. And those guys, and the high priest, Azariah, and the other ones were saying, this is nothing that has to do with you. You're king, but this belongs to consecrated people, to the sons of Aaron. It's not up to you. This is for your shame. You're not honoring God doing this. And so in that moment, leprosy broke out on his forehead. So the high priest, they urged him out. He himself ran out of the temple because he said, I sinned. I have leprosy. So he cured himself out, and he lived in a house by himself with leprosy, and he died with leprosy. And on that year, when King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord. See, I believe Isaiah, for sure, he heard about the Lord. He spoke to others about the Lord. He studied. But things in your life change when you see the Lord. I want to make myself clear with an example. I grew up in the Mission Crisis, the answer, where I was the only unlucky, if we can say so, missionary kid. Unlucky why? It's not unlucky, but missionary kid that had an Italian dad, an American mom. All the others in the mission had either all American parents, or if they were American, Canadian, Canadian or Canadian, English, Australian, English, American. And so I remember I grew up, and I was homeschooling, and all my friends, you know, they were coming back from their vacations or visiting family, and they'd come, and I remember the guy that had, his father was Australian. He said, well, in Australia, we have the biggest alligators and the biggest snakes, and they showed a picture of this huge snake and the alligator, and I was like, wow. And then, of course, the English guy, they'd go to England, London, and they'd come, and she'd come, oh, we have the Big Ben. And look at the Big Ben. And I was like, oh, wow. And I scratched my head, you know, I was like, and I'm thinking inside myself, what do I have? You know? And then Canada, the Niagara Falls. And they show me the pictures. We have the Niagara Falls. And they're like, whoa. And everyone's just rejoicing, and you know, because they have something to show, some pictures to show, something to talk about. And so I remember I was pretty sad. I go to my mom, because my dad's from Sicily. There's nothing there. So I said, Daddy, just, you know, he was excluded right away. Mommy, I was like, what do you have? And my mom's from Arizona, and she told me, we have the Grand Canyon. It's one of the 7 natural wonders of the world. And I was like, wow, really? And so I remember I went back to the guys, the kids, and I was like, I have the Grand Canyon. And they're like, what? And I was like, I do. Never been in the States. When I was, but I had the Grand Canyon, you know? And so I remember I studied. I knew exactly what river crossed the Grand Canyon, the Colorado. I knew the color. I knew all the animals inside the Grand Canyon. I knew that the Grand Canyon, depending on the sun, the stones changed color, red, orange, purple. And it even snowed in the desert. I mean, in the winter there in the Grand Canyon, I had the pictures. And I said, it even snows in the desert. Something incredible. You know, and they're like, oh, no, man, you got too much there. And I was studying. I gathered a lot of information, a lot of knowledge on the Grand Canyon. And sure enough, one day, at the age of 15, my mom, she says, so family, let's go to the United States. And we go to Arizona because she's from there. And so in my head, I was like, hope grandma brings me. And so one day, my grandma says, let's rent a van and let's go see the Grand Canyon. So my dream, all that information, all what I studied, was coming to reality, to something true. And I was so excited. I had butterflies in my stomach. And I remember as we were driving, and I was like, when are we getting there? When are we getting there? We get there finally. I step down the van. I go and I see the immensity of the Grand Canyon. And I was like, wow. I started kind of almost shaking. I was so happy. I was in love with what I saw. I was like, I can't believe it. And in that moment, I understood that everything that I had studied, all the knowledge, all the picture that I had seen, had become nothing. I understood that in that moment, I hadn't understood anything, because I finally saw with my eyes. Things are completely different when you see with your eyes. So, Isaiah knew about the Lord. One day, he sees him. And look at what his expressions are. It really touched me. He says, woe to me, he cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. I am ruined because I saw the Lord Almighty. And as we read before, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. At that sight, he felt unclean. At that holiness, he felt ruined. He says, now what am I going to do? Can you imagine seeing the king on the throne, the smoke coming out, everything is shaking, the threshold, the door stops. And he was like, whoa. His life completely changed. And he was called, and he says, here I am, I'm going. And I believe that the answer to the question, why are so many people walking away from the truth, is that we lost that fear of the Lord. Christ has become a buddy, our classmate, our roommate. See, when we meet the Lord the first time, something special happens. We start shaking, but then as years go by, and that's why I use the example of King Uzziah and King Amaziah. They did so well. The Lord blessed them so much. 40 years passed for Uzziah. And then he thought he was pretty much the same level as God. He says, I'm going to go in the temple. I'm going to burn incense. He lost that fear. And Zechariah was very careful to teach him to fear the Lord. He was so careful. But as we walk, as we live our life, we start making him very small, very little, our buddy. And the sad thing is that society now is pushing into making, is giving us an image of Jesus that is horrible, that is small. Like if you speak with people and you say, oh, Jesus, he was like, who is that poor guy on the cross with the crown of thorns on his head? They still see him on the cross. But sometimes it's not even their fault, simply because it's continuously shown on TV. In Italy, it's very Catholic nations, and you see crosses with Jesus on that cross everywhere. So if you continuously see these things, that's these images go in your head, and that's what you think, that Jesus is still on the cross. No, he's risen. Netflix, many of you guys know for sure, is trying to show us Jesus as homosexual, saying that his partner, his lover, was John the Apostle. It was a blasphemy. But that's what the world is trying to convince us that. And if you speak with people, they're like, oh, Jesus, oh, that guy that walks like that with a cross and hardly can't make it. See, and when we start seeing Jesus as a poor guy with blood still hanging on the cross, that's when we can sit on a couch and probably watch, as a Christian, and probably watch a bad movie or of whatever sort or type, and think that Jesus would be there with us watching that movie, because we made him to be at our level. And that's why I was talking about King Uzziah, is because can it be after 40 years, all those wonderful things, and so many people in the Bible that we can read of, can it be that we can fall? Can it be that we think that Jesus is still on the cross, or that he's almost no one or comparable to us? Can it be? Yes, it can. And so I want to encourage the church and everyone to keep in mind who Jesus is. He is on the cross. He's risen. He is alive. Jesus, I like to keep the image of Jesus as what, like Joshua Psalm when he was at the river in Jericho, with a sword, drawn sword, and answering back and saying, I'm the commander-in-chief here of the army of God. Eyes of fire. And I like that example that scientists say that every second a star is put in the heavens, and while Jesus is dealing with your problem, with my problem, with the world's problem, with everything, you know what he does on his spare time? He's placing stars in heaven, not calling him by name, and the scientists say that every second a star is born. And so while Jesus is handling everything, he's there naming and putting stars in heaven. That's how big God is. That's the Jesus that we are serving. And if we would see what Isaiah saw, I think we would say, woe to me. I saw the Lord. And I believe that the fear of the Lord is that thing, is that key, that helps us not sin. Because if you fear someone, you will not do what that person doesn't want you to do, if you fear him. If you made him your buddy, equal to you, then you're going to be doing whatever you want. You'll be turning the scriptures to your convenience. You'll be sinning before entering in church and then raising your hands and worshiping the Lord because you have no fear. So, church, let's really focus on who Jesus is. He's coming back, and he's not coming back to die on the cross or to be whipped. He's coming back and he's going to come to judge. And it's going to be scary for those who didn't accept him. It's going to be wonderful for those who feared him and kept serving him in obedience. So if we want to close our eyes and pray. Father, thank you for this day. And thank you for your word. I want to pray that you touch the heart of every single brother and sister here in the church. That you let us understand how important it is to fear you. To know that you are alive and that you're the Lord God Almighty. That you are holy, holy, holy. And you call us to be holy. And we want to go against every evil attack that is trying to convince us that you, Lord Jesus, are no one. Father, we trust in you. We trust in your word, and we know that you're coming back, and we want to live for eternity with you. Help us be humble and walk in a humble way. Help us fear you the way that you want us to. In the name of Jesus, I ask you that you bless even every single brother and sister here in their families and the children. And thank you for such a loving family here in South Dakota. In the name of Jesus, I want to pray, amen.
Stand with me, please. Number 409, I Know Whom I Have Believed. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I bid unto him against that day. I know not how the saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed, persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday.
am in the air, but I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the time that we've been able to spend in your house, for the reminder of you are more than what we can even imagine or think, and yet you think of us. Father, for this week ahead, as Paul tells us in Romans, now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret from long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen.